Nutty Debate.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It's time for another Nutty Debate. And this time, Tech, the Clockwork Doctor, Hello. Is going to be running the show. But with us, we have a special guest. We have Serial Killer.
Hello.
Who is back from the sea. You may have noticed he's been missing on a lot of the most recent Nutty Debates. That's because he's been off at sea, isolated, on a boat, in the middle of the ocean, and held hostage by a certain navy.
Or fighting Cthulhu, either way. Oh, sorry. I wasn't supposed to.
Yes, I'm not supposed to talk about that for operational security reasons.
Yes, it's a super secret mission. Hello. Now Cthulhu's going to know.
Yeah, that's why I spent all my time complaining about the ports we didn't go to. So it was mystification and distraction.
Oh, yes, Cthulhu does listen to this podcast. Hello, Cthulhu.
Hello, Cthulhu.
Please don't swallow my soul. I still need it. Thank you.
Remember, I have no soul to swallow, as much as you may try. The ginger I sail with stole it.
Wob, wob. Tech, would you like to tell everyone the topic?
Today's topic is a two-part discussion on what is a fandom that you cannot get your friends to like. What fandom out there do you seem to be the only one in your group likes? The only one that likes that topic. And then the flip side of the coin, what fandom do all your friends seem to enjoy that you yourself just cannot bring yourself to like for whatever reason?
All right, and as we get into this, I think I need to mention a particular fandom that each of us ended up getting into with a kind of a similar thing. Zero Killer was into it first, told both of us that we had to read these books. Then Tech got into it when he was overseas, saw it in a library, and then finally got me to read A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones being
yes.
the first book. And once we each finally got into it, we realized we love it. Mm. And then it took me forever to get people into it. And now that HBO's out, I have the same people I tried to get into the series turn around to me and say, oh, have you seen Game of Thrones? It's a really good show.
You just made me into a literary hipster.
Yes, yes.
I was reading A Song of Ice and Fire before it was cool.
We all are. I'm even wearing black frame spectacles, so I've got the hipster vibe going on.
I left my black frames at home. I have the gray ones now because I'm an old man.
Aren't you at home?
I mean, I'm there on ship. Yeah, they're somewhere in the ether.
Serial Killer joining us live from the set. It's not really his home. It's just a set.
That's true. I actually just took a picture of my apartment, and I carry it with me everywhere in a giant cardboard set.
I was going to say, if the camera was to pan either right or left, we'd actually see the rest of the helicopter deck of the ship that you're on.
It's not even actually, the funny thing is I almost did make a green screen and take a photo of this background so that I always had it for me.
Especially if people are like walking through the curtains. God damn it, would you get rid of this curtain already?
On the subject of Ice and Fire, I still have friends to this day who cannot stand A Song of Ice and Fire.
But have they read it?
They have tried and stopped. They will not give it a chance.
I will give people a pass if they have tried to read it and don't like it. Because with anything, you're never going to be able to please everyone with a franchise. And that's fine.
That's true.
But for some reason, I could not get people to even attempt to read the book. My most recent convert failure was getting somebody to finally say that they were going to read it, and then I found out that they were listening to the audiobook, and I'm like, and I know some people like Roy Dotrice and how he reads the books. I do not, and I told the person, you have to actually read it.
Is he the guy that sings often and always tries to do the women's voices? Is he one of them?
And he everybody sounds like either a pirate or a leprechaun.
Yeah, okay. I listened to about 2 minutes of that and then said, no, I'm going to read the book again.
Yeah.
Well, the challenge I always give people when I tell them that they have to read this series and they start picking it up is you have to read the first book and you cannot make up your mind until you reach the phrase, the things I do for love.
Yep.
Once you reach that point and the plotness that happens around it, you'll either decide to finish the book or you'll put it down uninterested.
Yeah.
I think I can recall that scene. It has been ages since I read the book, so right. I'm not gonna ask because of spoilers. I'll look it up later.
Well,
I'll edit this out, but it's
censorship is good.
Yeah, that's what I suspected. Yeah, and that is probably one of the best turns of the whole early book. So. Yeah,
and it's about 30 to 40 pages in. So if you can make it there, you can. Yeah, you know, and you can make it to that through that much of his writing style, through that much of his writing style, if you can make it there, you can finish the book, or you can decide to put it down.
Yeah, because as much as I love George R.R. Martin's writing, he's got the Tolkien syndrome going on where he's a little wordified.
I agree, but I've always said that Tolkien wrote with a highlighter, and he highlighted everything, but not everything was important. Whereas George R.R. Martin writes with a highlighter, but everything is important, because 6 books later, you're going to find out that this inconsequential thing is really important. The only things that don't really matter are the food, but they're so fun to read about, and you just salivate.
That's what I was going to say, is the quality of and cut of the beef going to matter 6 books from now? Because if it does, I will be scared.
Well, you find a lot of other writers that the level of detail they use increases during important parts of the book. Mm. But in Game of Thrones, everything is an important part of the book, so everything gets that level of detail. Yeah. Where he will go on for 10 pages describing the coat of arms of every knight who showed up at the tourney. Is it important? Probably not, until later when you find out that it might be.
Yeah.
Well, and then later, later he's describing banners that are at a major battle, and before he even says it, you can conjure who's there. And the level of detail is, I appreciate it, because in my writing, I know I definitely don't put that much detail into anything. I leave so much to the imagination that I find I'm wondering what's going on sometimes, so I can appreciate the detail, but I can also see why it might have turned some people off. Mm. And the TV series, as awesome as it is not the books. Right. And in a way, I feel sorry for anybody whose only exposure to the series is the television series.
What is missing is about $20 to $30 million worth of budget to give them the big sets, the big cast.
The battles.
Battles. Because as great as the Battle of the Blackwater was, the fact that it was 30 guys beating on a stone wall with some CG effects in the background, I don't know, that ruined it for me.
Half man. That was great for me. I will say, though, that the television show is the best adaptation I've seen to date.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the spirit. So let's go on to things that we cannot get people into.
I think I might actually be unqualified to talk about this, because the only things that I can't get other people into are so ridiculously obscure.
Wrestling.
Oh, okay, there we go. Professional wrestling. I can't get people into it, and I am stupid. Actually, no, because I sail with 3 or 4 people that are stupid into professional wrestling. Yeah, my obsession with that largely comes from boredom, though. Like, when I'm at sea for large stretches of time, most gaming sites that that I would read don't work. So I go to wrestling sites because it's sports, and sports is allowed through the filters.
That's interesting.
So there is an obsession, though, but that comes from when I was a kid, because, wrestlers were my superheroes. I didn't read comics as a kid. I watched wrestling.
But wrestling's fake, to steal a line from a great movie.
It's still real to me, which is a line from a viral video that's absolutely hilarious.
Wrestling may be fake, but it's also real. And I will recommend that anyone questioning this to watch the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Because I used to be friends with a professional wrestler, and watching The Wrestler, it was exactly what I experienced knowing him.
And that's the thing, is there's such a stigma around it. There's such a like, oh, it's fake, it's staged, it's not a real sport, it's this, it's that. I'm lucky enough to have a few friends of mine that are really into it, and a few people I know that really love it, and that have been involved to some degree in the business. So I've got a lot of different insider knowledge, but even then, you just got to acknowledge the fact that these guys are on the road performing so often. Like, Jerry Lawler is a bona fide legend. He's 60-plus years old. He was in the ring last year 135 times. You know the only reason he stopped wrestling? He had a bloody heart attack on the air 5 minutes after a match. Ow. Only time he stopped wrestling. And 3 months later, he was back announcing again.
To me,
these guys...
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
I said, for me, the illusion of wrestling was ruined. I was still quite young. I was a kid. And I remember it was one of the big WrestleManias, or one of the big pay-per-view events that we didn't get at home. And I remember thinking to myself, no, it's okay. Tomorrow morning, I'll wake up early. I'll go onto the sports channel, and I'll get the highlights when they do the sports roundup of the previous day's events. So I get to see all of the baseball matches and the soccer matches and the Formula One race, and then the boxing scores. And then I'm waiting. Okay, so who won the belt? And then it never showed up, and just, well, it's a real sport, isn't it? You know, illusion shattered.
That's, for me, that's part of the whole thing that I don't get is how the mainstream never picked it up, because it's just as legit. I'm not going to disparage boxing, but in a way, there's a lot of boxing that's pretty shady and fixed as well. And some of those guys fight once every 2 years. Yeah, they train to keep in peak for performance, but they're not out there fighting. They're not out there doing anything for good stretches of time. Mixed martial artists, the guys who...
Well, in boxing, the title fighters, like the heavy money draws, will fight once every 10 months.
Yeah, but even then, that's once every 10 months. Yes, you're training in the meantime, but these the professional wrestler goes out there 5 times a week. Yeah. They're flying constantly from place to place. Some of them who aren't the bigger guys out there, who are just new, are driving place to place themselves. They drive across 2 or 3 states to get to a venue because they don't have the money to fly because theirs isn't covered. These are guys that put their all into everything they do for this. And yet it's not considered mainstream. To draw mainstream attention to a WrestleMania, like the big Super Bowl event of the whole thing, the rumor is now that they're going to have to put a halftime show where they invite some big-name act to show up to just draw people in from the mainstream.
Wow.
Everybody's been making fun of halftime shows at, like, the Super Bowl lately, so I can't see how that's going to help.
Oh, well, then again, professional wrestling is its own worst enemy as well.
Yeah.
It is its own worst enemy because they've got a storyline going on right now that's basically... Jack Swagger, the all-American American, has turned into the real American, and you, Mexican champion, are not a real American.
Oh, goody.
You know your storyline is drawing controversy, and in a way they wanted it to draw controversy because they wanted the mainstream. You know your storyline is a little bit pushing the borders when Glenn Beck calls you out on being horrible people.
There you go.
Yes.
All you Glenn Beck fans out there, I'm sorry, but... I call it like I see it.
I just want to say one last thing about wrestling. Wrestling is a soap opera. And
it's the male soap opera. Vince McMahon has said it himself.
Very physical form of soap opera and fighting involved, but it is a soap opera. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, something I can't get people into. I have a couple here, but I'll start with the geek one first. Warhammer, in general, as in the whole universe.
It's pretty geeky.
It is pretty. Not just... So, to recap for the mixed nuts who aren't familiar, the Warhammer universe is made by a British company called Games Workshop, and it includes books, comics, video games, role-playing games, and tabletop miniature games in a fantasy and in a very grim and dark sort of gothic futuristic setting called Warhammer 40,000, which I am a huge, huge fan of. The settings are huge. They are all-encompassing, and the number one rule is that there are no good guys. Everyone is gray. Various shades of gray, good or bad. Even the worst of all chaotic demons have some nugget of good in them that makes them appealing. The art is fantastic. The writing is even better. I love it. But the games are run by a tyrannical company bent on global domination. Games Workshop has a monopoly, they know it, and they exploit it, which is why the rule books start at $65 a pop. A squad of 10 miniatures, which, you know, will cost you $60, and they don't even get you near started into an army. An army will cost you $200 to $300, unpainted and unassembled. And the rule book to play the game is $95. It is prohibitively expensive, and I've been collecting it since I was a teenager. My army is worth a small house, but, I love it, and I love the setting, and I love nothing more than reading more of this lore that they put into the setting, and I just can't get anybody else to do it.
If I may?
Yes.
Your army's worth a small house for what you paid for it, not so much for being able to say, I've assembled an army. Here, give me a house.
Yeah, no, there's no resale value, because once they're painted and assembled, they're unique, they're identified to you, and what I assemble and paint mine to look like, you might not like, so you're not going to pay me anything for them.
Yeah, see, you've jumped into the second part for me.
Mm.
Warhammer, as much as I've tried in the past to get into it, I've tried to jump into that world, and I do enjoy some levels of it, some aspects of it. There are a bunch of people that I've worked with in the past little while that are obsessive over it. There's guys I work with one of whom wanted me to give a shout out to him today, that I will not give a shout out to him today by name.
You get no shout out, sir.
Wait,
none by.
That.
He was reading today. Like, he has a list of stuff that he's downloaded and has with him for when he goes to sea and has no internet connection. That's all just lore. Mm. It's not the books. It's the background lore to the books so that he can understand the books because he didn't play the game. And there's guys I know that have the room entirely full of miniatures, the army upon army upon army that play every weekend, that do all of this, that bosses of mine that, like, in order to get in good with them, you had to play the game, and I just could not understand this. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm inherently cheap in some aspects when I'm not really cheap. I don't know, that's just the money might have been what drove me away.
It is a huge hurdle, and the lifeblood of any game is being able to draw in new players. I mean, no matter how big your fan base is, being able to draw new blood is always important. And especially among younger gamers, you always want to get that new crowd in at the store or in at the gaming club. And telling a teenager that he can't play unless he shows up with $300 worth of painted models is really hard to do.
If I may, also, it's a tactics game. It's not a role-playing game. It's a tactics game.
Well, there is a role-playing game, like a dice and paper role-playing game, but the main draw of the Warhammer universe is the tabletop miniatures tactical game.
And a lot of people, there is a certain kind of person that likes tactics games. I mean, I know that there are lots of people who would never consider themselves geeks, but they do very similar games where it's, you know, the North and the South American armies during the Civil War, or, you know, the Battle of Waterloo, and they'll replay it and again use the same kind of rules to see if they can win and so forth. So to me, it's a tactics game, and when you've got somebody who's used to role-playing and playing out a character, not so much caring about the outcome of a battle, it can be a little odd to get into. But, you know, it's just, you have to remember, this is not role-playing, this is not what you're here for, and once you realize that you're there for tactics, I mean, heck, if you like chess, you'll like Warhammer.
But the role-playing and fantasy elements come into it when you are creating your army, because they become your own. So it's not, you know, oh, little plastic man that I glued together and glued my fingers together while making him. He becomes, you know, Sergeant Keltrian of the 37th Battalion, and I gave him this plasma pistol that he killed an orc for, and then I'll put a severed orc head on the base of the model to show that he killed him for this, and hold on, I have this miniature, hold on.
I love that we're recording audio only, and he's gonna go get the miniature.
Well, you know.
that's a note to anybody listening now. He's run off to get a miniature for the audio.
This will be in the bloopers.
Dun, 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 dun. No, see, look, notice here.
You gotta get it in the camera.
There he is. Go. Notice he's got the little orc's head there, and he's got his big chainsword.
Yes.
And he's wearing his cool little gas mask, and he goes, hello, die, orcs, die, pew, pew, pew.
That is so going in the bloopers. That is awesome.
All right, Nutty.
All right, so I've been having some trouble coming up with what can I get people into, because so many of the fandoms that I've struggled to get people interested in have become popular. A Song of Ice and Fire. Sherlock Holmes, most recently. Mm. Because of the BBC series, I couldn't get anybody to read Sherlock Holmes, and now everybody, you know, says, oh, have you seen Sherlock? Have you read the stories? Yes, I've read every freaking story, heard every audio drama. I've been trying to get people to do this.
I still haven't read an actual Sherlock Holmes book.
They're all public domain. You can get them for an e-reader.
So I could make Sherlock Holmes versus the Mummy. Sorry, Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters, or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes.
So hang on,
I'm not done with my spiel.
But I have one for you that you tried to get me into and failed.
Okay.
Supernatural.
Yeah, I didn't fail. You liked Supernatural.
I had enough. Oh, look, it's two real pretty guys. Hey, look, it's a really, really hot chick dead. Wow, it's another really hot chick dead. Hey, wow, look at this pretty blonde dead on the ceiling. Every episode, dead, super hot chick.
Like, wait, please tell me Felicia Day didn't die?
I don't think she's guessed it, but...
No, she has, but I don't think she's seen that one.
So here's the tip. Here's my top gear tip. If there's a really hot chick in an episode of Supernatural, she ain't seeing the end credits. Sorry, guys.
Okay, but granted, we watched almost all of the first season together.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to finish the series.
Oh.
But that's more into the fandoms I can't get into. That's going to come later. So please, my love, carry on.
Yeah, you are possibly the only person that I can't get into Supernatural, because that's a big one. Are you guys trying to high five there, or are you just saying that?
Yeah, I can't get into it either.
You guys don't know what you're missing. It's urban legends and
as dreamy as Jensen Ackles is, I can't get into that show.
He's quite dreamy.
But isn't he so?
You know what's really sad? He could go see the filming too. He's not that far from where they film.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I could be a background extra.
That'd be awesome.
This is me as an extra. This is me getting dragged off the set. This is me getting thrown off the lot.
Oh, that was almost with the X-Men movie, the second one.
Yeah, when you showed up with the Luchador mask?
No, that's when we just were walking along the Royal Roads University where they tape the outdoor shots for the mansion, and I almost, the producer came out all freaked out that we were making noise, and I almost ran past him to play the bongos on Patrick Stewart's head.
Okay. I will say that one of the fandoms I can't get people interested in is a guilty pleasure, but I love it so much, Xena. I cannot get people to watch Xena. They're like, oh, it's so campy. Yes, it's campy. That's the whole point. Have you ever seen Army of Darkness? If you like that, you're going to like Xena. But no, I can't get people into watching it. It was a great series, and I've seen every single episode.
I will admit that I have seen most of the episodes, but that's because I thought Gabrielle was hot.
She is.
And I've also seen almost every Hercules episode, and almost...
Is that because you think Aeolus is hot?
No, but I have Jack of Trades on my computer as well, which is the obscure one that nobody will ever get into because it sucked.
It was really bad.
As much as I love Bruce Campbell, and there's one right there for me too that I forgot about. Bruce Campbell movies. It's hard to get people into them. As much as The Chin rules, if it's not Army of Darkness, people don't seem to care about his other movies.
Hmm.
Speaking of Jack of All Trades, Cleopatra 2525. That was another bad one, but from that same time era. But that was Gina Torres.
What was it with, like, stupidly stylized TV shows from that era that were like, let's take myth and stuff and names of people that you might know and then all of a sudden make them into crazy new scenario?
Weren't they all done by the same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
The same production house. They were all done in New Zealand. Basically, they had a bunch of TV movies for Hercules that they did with Kevin Sorbo. They aired them where I was on Channel 11, the WB, whatever it was at that point. They were wildly popular. They turned it into a television show. The television show was wildly popular. Then they found that they had this character, Xena, that they could do a spinoff with. They did the spinoff, and then they started
Sinbad the Sailor came from that same house as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will point out that I did know enough about Xena to incorporate a small piece of mythology that is completely bogus, made up TV mythology from it in my most recent novel. So,
oh goody.
Yeah.
Before the written word, his children preyed upon ancient man. Its Nephilim and worshippers have affected Sumer, the Indus Valley, the founding of Judaism, and even the ancient Egyptian monarchy. The legend of his children, its existence, and the warriors who fight its presence have been passed down from generation to generation. Garaga's Children, Ancients, the first six stories of Paul Ellard Cooley's Parsec Award-nominated series. On April 1st, 2013, own a piece of history by ordering your own signed, numbered, limited edition hardcover featuring bonus materials never before released. Please visit shadowpublications.com for more information.
We don't believe in happy endings.
Nutty.
Yes.
Which one can't you get into yourself?
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Give us a good one.
Lost. I watched the first 15 minutes of it, got really bored. I've tuned in for a couple other episodes, but the only ones that I could actually watch all the way through were centered around Hurley. But I really
because he's the only redeemable thing about that entire show.
I believe he was. He was really great. I love that actor.
Once the polar bear showed up, I knew that I was in for a horrible ride. The problem with me is I watch a crappy show. If I see the first episode, oh, yeah, just...
Polar bear on an island?
Trust me, it never shows up again and nobody ever explains why.
Hmm.
The thing about Lost that a lot of people don't seem to realize that are huge fans, and I'm on the Lost bandwagon of not enjoying it. I've watched the whole series because I have a small problem. If I start watching a crappy TV show, I have to finish it to see what kind of levels of crap it can go to. I just finished watching Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, because I had to keep going.
I couldn't finish it, but I watched the first season and a half.
Yeah, there's another one that I'm not going to try and get anybody into. With Lost, J.J. Abrams came up with the idea on a bar napkin, as is the cliche, and 90 days later they were filming it. Not 90 days later he was pitching it, they were filming it 90
yeah.
days later.
Yeah.
That does not a good series bode well for. And it showed early to me that they had no idea where they were going, which is a common problem with TV these days, I find, when they're trying to come up with a new series. We have a flashbang, new, awesome idea. Let's make it. Let's put it out there right now so the kids will love it. And then, crap, we forgot what we're going to do.
Here's an example of when Fox did that TV series, Jailbreak. And the whole idea was that he was trying to break his brother out of jail. Then they brought it back for season two. It's like, but they're already out of jail. What are they going to do? Then they had to go to another jail and then come up with an even bigger plan to break out of that one. So,
and then he had to break into a jail in the third season, and, you know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. And then they make a jail to break out of in four. Yeah, who knows, right?
Or 152?
Hmm?
152? The series known as 24 to everybody else on the planet? Like, that was a great first series idea. I didn't even finish watching it, though, because I knew, like, I watched... That's one I couldn't get into, because I watched the first few episodes and went, this is a great idea, but I have the horrible feeling they're going to make another season of it and that will ruin it. So I stopped watching, and three seasons later, I'm like, yeah, this is dumb.
Do you want to share your 24 thing?
We were watching 24 while I was on course, and we'd go home and watch a couple of episodes before supper every night. And the whole time, it's like, hey, as we called it Jackie B. It's like, hey, do you want to watch an episode of Jackie B? Yeah. Hey, do you think he'll torture someone this episode? I don't know. Let's watch. And then inevitably, Jack Bauer is there torturing some poor guy.
There are two things I've realized about the world of 24 that absolutely mortify me. One, nobody goes to the can ever. It follows Jack Bauer almost 24/7, and he never goes to the washroom.
He's got a bag. It's all good.
Okay, two, the world is so callous that a nuke goes off in L.A., and it's not even mentioned an hour later. They just drop the nuke.
It's L.A.
They drop the nuke storyline. Like, the next episode, they realized it didn't play very well, so they forgot about it, but forgot that the fundamental core reality of the world is that every episode's an hour later. They just stop mentioning it.
Well, that's the difference between the East and West Coast, right? Terrorist attack in New York City. The world is in mourning and we're going to war. Terrorist attack in L.A. Good.
Wow, that's good.
I didn't really watch 24. Okay. I didn't really watch 24. I had a friend who was really interested in it. And, I was at her house once or twice when she was watching, and it drove me up the freaking wall because of the inaccuracies, how wrong anything that they did was. You know, the whole idea, and particularly during this one season, in the United States, there was the debate of torture, and is torture allowed, and are we allowed to torture people? And I felt like the 24 was an advertisement for pro-torture. And I was like, you know what? This is just really uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, yeah. I think that touches upon one of the fandoms that I can't get into that so many people seem to, and that's mainstream cable television.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's a huge one for me, too.
Yeah.
Anything that's on the mainstream cable television, Survivor, can't get into it. I watched one season of that because it was novel, and then after that, I'm like, yep, it's going to be the same stupid crap over and over again, and it is.
The first season, you know, the whole reality show concept as a competition, it was iconic. It was brilliant new TV, and I was riveted to the first season. And then in the second one, it's like, oh, there's going to be an alliance. Oh, and this guy's going to backstab that guy, and it just got so played out really fast.
it's reality TV is the big thing. Like Jersey Shore, I think the only episode I ever watched was from the morbid train wreck value of it. And the only other awareness I had for years about its existence was that there was a girl named Snooki who got punched in the face. The thing about that one that I really like, the only reason I knew about that one is there's a guy I worked with that absolutely and completely loathes Snooki's existence as a multimillionaire, and he would watch that video at least 3 times a day. And by weird ass coincidence, he's messaging me on Facebook right now, but I'm ignoring him.
I was reading a book at one of my other sister's house, and she was watching Jersey Shore. And even though I wasn't watching, I was reading a book in the other room, I felt like I lost brain cells.
Yeah, see, that one, that show, it gives me a deep personal sadness that Snooki is a published best-selling author of a novel.
It's no different than Paris Hilton's dog being an author.
I'm like, why? Why has this... Oh, how has this happened? How is reality glomming onto this
beyond,
and not the good that's out there?
Beyond just reality shows, I'll tell you, the big problem I have with TV now is those one-hour dramatic TV shows.
Yeah.
And
An American Family, the superhero show or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was so bad.
Horrible. The guy has a job. He is a police sketch artist, and they spend the entire first season mocking, ridiculing, and ridiculing every effort the guy has because you don't have a good job and you can't support your family because your wife is a researcher and she makes more than you. When are you gonna get a real job? You're gonna have to censor this, but he's a fucking police sketch artist. That guy has a great, wonderful, beautiful artistic job where he gets to use his talents. And just because he doesn't make as much as his wife, all of a sudden Michael Chiklis ain't enough of a man. What?
It's a reflection on how mainstream society actually thinks, though. If that can be put out there, it shows that mainstream America actually still thinks that way, which is wrong.
Thing and the commish are not enough of a man for you.
Because I was going to say, the guy from The Shield?
Yeah. That guy is not enough of a man because he doesn't make as much as his wife.
What's his name there? Vince or whatever?
Yes, Vince from The Shield.
You telling me Vince is not a man? I'm surprised that sketch artist didn't put a pencil in someone's eye Joker style.
Gonna make his pencil disappear? Bang!
Wow. I actually didn't watch... I don't watch a lot of these shows. Like, the modern remake of V.
I tried.
Pass.
I had a mutual friend of ours, Bear, got me hooked on the original miniseries V. She insisted over and over that I watch it. I'm like, I'm kind of vaguely aware of it, so I watched it again, and it was it wasn't perfect because of the time, of course, the time lapse, but it was a tense, politically aware and wonderfully done show for its time. That when you get to the modern thing,
that originally aired, right?
Oh, you kidding? I wasn't allowed to watch that.
Oh, I thought you had.
Oh Lord, no!
But it was a fantastic event. It's a politically aware piece of science fiction that, honestly, I think everybody should be aware of. But it's hard to get people into, which is relevant to the topic now. And they took it and they stripped all sensibility away from it and made it shiny, shiny, happy, good.
Yeah.
Like, there were dark people and everything, but they were still ultra-beautiful dark people.
Yeah. I tried. I like a lot of the actors that were involved. I did not see the original, and it was funny because I said, oh, let me check this out, because it's Marina Baccarin. And halfway through the first episode, Fred's like, didn't they do this, like, back in the 80s?
I think my
I had no idea because I was clueless.
My big problem with this is that with all of these shows, you know, she's a sassy young lawyer and look at the problems she's having at work an hour for the rest of the season. Who cares? I cannot watch any of these shows. I think the big problem is they seem to think that I'm an idiot being led by my genitals. So they will populate an entire show of beautiful people for me to watch. And then plot and story become secondary. I would rather watch an hour of intelligent, wonderful science fiction or beautiful fantasy with a buttload of ugly people, as long as they're good actors who make me love the characters.
But mind you, still some of the things we are the biggest fans of still are guilty of that. Firefly, don't tell me there was an ugly person in that entire show. Even Badger was kind of cute.
Badger's sexy.
See?
Mark Shepard's in everything.
There's not a single person in that show that is really unappealing. Even the people that are made out to be the unappealing people in that universe were beautiful.
But the production values and the acting and the cast and the chemistry, everything else was above and beyond.
Yes, that was primary, but it's still beautiful people everywhere.
Here's an example. It's not a failed Joss Whedon. It's the Joss Whedon I enjoyed the least. Dollhouse was nothing but Joss playing Dress Me Up Eliza. And as beautiful as she was, she couldn't carry that train wreck past two seasons.
Oh, no. You know what? That show survived my interest for three reasons.
Her in skirts, her in pants, her in tight shirts.
Victor.
Oh, I love Victor.
Victor was the runaway steal-the-show character of that entire thing. That young actor, I can't even remember his name right now because he hasn't been in much since, but he was fantastic.
Almost every person on Dollhouse has an unpronounceable name, just so you know.
You got Victor, you got Alan Tudyk.
Sashima.
Dude, stop. Just stop. Spoilers all around.
Kill the spoiler.
Yes.
Okay, but you've got actors that were involved, but and then the guy who played Topher, who's, you know, there from moment one. Topher is the guy that absolutely sold me on the season, on the series.
The poor man's Seth Green.
Oh.
Hey, I love Seth Green, though, but Seth Green has become the poor man's Seth Green.
Without a paddle.
Seth Green is...
Shut up, Dad!
Seth Green's a parody of himself these days. I mean, it's sad to say, but he is.
I love
that. That's another one, Robot Chicken. As funny as it is sometimes, I'm not a huge fan of it, and yet people seem to love it.
I've watched every episode. I am hooked.
Family Guy. I hate Family Guy with a passion. I cannot stand it. South Park. High five again. South Park. Seriously? I watched one episode that made me chuckle, and that was the one where it was about, I think, Michael Jackson dying and trying to lure little boys into the afterlife, and then a bunch of other celebrities were there to stop him that were all dead. It was the Billy Mays episode. That was the only one that even made me chuckle because it had a brain to it. The rest of them are all just disgusting scatological horror shows.
South Park was groundbreaking in its first season when it came out, and it's definitely gotten into a formula like everything else. But South Park definitely created some tropes in the cartoon industry. I will say Family Guy, how did I describe it the other day? 25% of it's funny, 50% is inappropriate, and the other 25% just isn't funny.
Seth MacFarlane. He has to be watered down for Family Guy to work. Yep. And when Seth MacFarlane is unleashed, he's hilarious. Example, Ted. That movie had me rolling on the floor laughing at times.
Oh, I thought you said in order for him to be funny, we need to water him down.
No. In order to be on Family Guy and on television, he needs to be watered down. When you bring him back up and put him in a medium like Ted, that movie had me laughing to no end. Because it's him being allowed to be him. And yes, he is vulgar and rude at times, but he can be touching while he's vulgar and rude. That whole movie was just...
I did not see it, so I can't comment.
I'll give you...
I recommend it highly. I do.
I'll give you another one that I have problems with getting other people to watch. Is anything that shows up on Cartoon Network or Teletoon in Canada after 11 o'clock. If the airtime of your cartoon show is 2,300 hours, it's just right for me and I'll stay up and watch it. Things like Metalocalypse and Archer and...
Archer, I can totally get behind. That I've become horribly in love with.
And Frisky Dingo and Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Frisky Dingo, you mean Archer?
Yeah, the first try at Archer.
1.0.
And all of the other William Street little 11-minute shows.
So basically you're describing like late-night stoner shows?
Yes.
Yes. Which I love. And I remember we were sitting at work and we were discussing the latest episode of Robot Chicken. And this guy comes up to me and goes, "You guys talking about Robot Chicken?" I said, "Yeah." It's like, "You watch that show?" It's like, "Yeah, we love it. I let my 8-year-old watch that." "You let your 8-year-old watch Robot Chicken? What's wrong
that's
with
vulgar.
You?
You're shouting.
I'm sorry.
Not you.
That's
him.
Awful.
I will say that some other things that I just can't get into, and sometimes I've been glad not getting into something. Battlestar Galactica.
Yep, never got into that.
Really just couldn't care less. And honestly, from how I've heard other fans describe how it ends, I'm kind of glad because I don't want to end, have a great series and have it end in such a way that would make me hate the rest of it.
I've seen the ending and the first episode. And if I had watched the first episode and then gone through all of that for that ending, I would have probably sworn off of television for the rest of my life with how disappointingly sad that twist was.
Well, Battlestar Galactica seems to be one of those shows that fell to the trap I was talking before about the pretty people. It's just, look at this super smoking hot girl! Oh, and she's a Cylon.
I'm sorry, though. I need to be devil's advocate here. Mm. Seriously? A show that has Edward James Olmos in it and you're saying the pretty people?
Yeah, Edward James Olmos isn't exactly pretty, especially in HD.
You realize his craters have craters.
Yeah, it's like watching CSI Miami in HD for the first time as the demo of what an HD TV could do. Nah. And even seeing David Caruso's face and going, oh, why are they showing Mars?
Hey, Ike, do your impression of David Caruso's career. Ah!
I will say
that was a South Park joke. Why?
Yes, it was. I will say that I have been wrong. I am now watching The X-Files. I have never watched The X-Files when it was on. I couldn't get into it because all the people that were interested in, like, Survivor and all these other shows that I couldn't stand were way too into it, and the fans were scary, so I couldn't watch it.
You know, these fans are crazy conspiracy nuts. Like me.
But watching The X-Files now, I really do enjoy it, even though I'm looking at it with 21st century eyes and looking back at early 90s cheese and horrible acting by David Duchovny, it's still a pretty decent show. And so sometimes I'm wrong.
A fun fact about that show, a lot of the later really serious conspiracy stuff that was lasting in that series, the ongoing themes like the smoking man being there and all that, that only came because they had someone, they had Gillian Anderson get pregnant early on in the filming of it, and they had to write her out of a bunch of episodes, so they had to bring up other people. The smoking man, who was literally a background extra, being one of them because he was interesting enough they wanted to develop who he was.
Hmm.
All by happenstance and accident, which I like, as opposed to Lost, which pulled everything out of J.J. Abrams' butt.
Oh, JJ, what have you done?
So what can't you get into other than mainstream and procedurals? But what sci-fi can you not get into?
Oh.
But people have tried to get you into.
Beyond Battlestar? In sci-fi.
I'm going to get yelled at for mine. Doctor Who.
You know, I was going to say, Doctor Who's one of those that I avoided for so long and then finally caved.
Here's the thing. I actually watched, the Christopher Eccleston run. I watched the David Tennant run, and then I kind of went, well, it's a fun little show, but I don't see the following. I don't see the obsession. I don't see why people would go and go to these lengths. Like, Star Trek, I don't know. I even at times, like, I'm a Trekkie. I've got a huge obsession with that. I don't understand my own obsession, but it's got a lot of stuff to it. Doctor Who's just a nice dude who helps a lot of people out.
Yeah.
It really is, with time travel slapped on it.
Well, the thing, Doctor Who is incredibly stylized, and when you stylize something that much, it becomes hit or miss. You either like the style and can deal with it, or you can't and you don't.
Yeah.
And I think also I didn't like the fact that they didn't have Christopher Eccleston around a while, because I like my sarcastic Jack
Donkey
Doctor,
Donkey,
as opposed to, you know, the happy-go-lucky but slightly depressed Doctor.
Another bleep.
Oh, wait. Donkey.
That's okay. I already have you saying donkey.
I remember because I listened to another one that had it.
Chummy Hoodler.
What sci-fi can I not get into? As I'm looking at my shelf trying to picture movies that I just couldn't, or TV show that I do.
I have ones that I wanted to get into that I couldn't get into. Mm. Does that count? Like ones that I really wanted to love?
Oh, yeah.
Like Space Rangers.
I don't even know what that is.
Virtually no one on the planet has ever, and I swear, will ever have heard of this, because they only ever showed the pilot episode on Fox once. There was no other episode broadcast, yet there exist 26 filmed episodes for some reason, and I have them all on my computer and couldn't get through three of them.
Wow.
It was the worst derivative, horribly done, cheesy for its time special effects piece of garbage ever, and I wanted to love it so much because when I was a kid I saw it once and I thought, this is gonna be awesome, and then they took it away from me.
I've got one.
Mm.
Farscape for you. You should like it.
I should, and it's got Muppets in it, and it's all cool. I tried, and I can't. There's a whole series of Earth Final Conflict, Alien Nation.
Oh, I like that one.
Earth...
Wait, you didn't like Alien Nation?
Oh, Lord, no.
I bought it for you.
I know, and it's still unopened. Earth 2.
I love Alien Nation.
No, I'm sorry.
Alien Nation was just America trying in a nice way to say, Mexicans, please go home.
It was definitely a story about racism, but I mean, no, Alien Nation was good.
They just didn't want to make a show about people who didn't like Mexican immigrants.
I do have a great one for us to discuss, and this is just fun because I like making you edit more.
Oh God!
So this is one that you, Zeriel, got us into, but I cannot find anyone else to watch it. Mm. The League.
It's another hit or miss. I think one of the issues is you have to have the television show, the television channel FX, which we don't have in Canada.
Mm.
Or just download them.
But the big thing is, so what's the show about? Well, it's about a fantasy football league. So I don't like football. I don't like sports. You don't need to, but no
I
one
hate football with a passion. I cannot get into football at all. That's another fandom I hate, yeah. But I love the league.
I do love the league.
It has nothing to do with football.
I've tried to get people into it by telling them, did you like Sports Night? And they go, yeah, then you'll like this. And they go, oh, you know what? No, if you like Sports Night, you'll like The Newsroom or whatever that show is. Like, no.
Yeah, any show, for me, the pitch is this. Any show that features a bunch of backstabbing friends, one of whom is a stoner named Taco, is the best. And by the way, Taco is not the only food-related name that will come up in that series, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's a really
El Cuñado.
You know that just means the brother-in-law, right? Yes, but we say it like El Cañado to make it sound dirty.
But I think what makes that work really well is it's all the actors in it are comics. They're all comedians,
yes,
who have done writing, but they also are all actors. Because a lot of times you'll get a comic on a show and they suck. Jerry Seinfeld.
Jean Lajoie is not an actor.
Yeah,
he's the probably least actory of all the actors in there.
Yes, possibly, but he has acting experience, okay? He is an actor. He didn't go from doing stand-up to going on TV. He acts.
His YouTube experience.
Exactly.
And he writes all those songs and he performs them all amazingly well.
Yes.
Yeah, but
I'm not taking away from his talent. The man is absolutely a genius. He embodies Taco like no one could.
I mean, anyone who can put a song into a TV show called Vaginal Hubris...
I'll have to.
you knew you were gonna have to edit this.
Okay, so my point is that taking a comic and making a TV show about them does not work. Having just regular actors be so funny, it doesn't really work. What works is that they are comedians. They write their own comedy. And they can act, and so you get this really great chemistry, whereas you're not going to get that in some other shows.
No, yeah. No. Like, shows with absolutely brilliant concepts that just fall flat.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's shows that fall flat that don't... You just reminded me of another one that had a huge following, but for the wrong reason. They made a television show out of a Twitter feed.
Yes.
Bleep My Dad Says.
Yes.
Which, really, why? Why are you going to make a television show out of that? And then William Shatner is the guy of all things? Like, sorry, I love the Shatman. I do, but...
Honestly, William Shatner was the best thing about that show.
He needs to go away to a little quiet corner of the convention hall so I can get his autograph so that I can have all of the original series of Star Trek cast autographs that are still alive while they're still alive. And not be on TV anymore.
No, I disagree. we tried to watch the show, and the main purpose of the show sucked. But Shatner being Shatner was funny, and the extras were okay, but really, it wasn't very good.
There seems to be snobbery among fans as well, and when I try to tell them, it's like, there's this great sci-fi show you have to watch, it's really good. Okay. How many seasons did it run? So, well, it only had one, then it got canceled by Fox, and I'm not talking about Firefly. So it had one season, then it got canceled by Fox. Oh, when was it made? Well, mid-90s. Ow, I don't like TV shows that old. The special effects suck. Babylon 5 was horrible. So they refused to watch B5, which puts a black mark in my book for them, but...
Okay, I won't mention that I actually don't like Babylon 5 anymore.
Oh, go to hell. But here,
because it just ripped off Deep Space Nine.
It is not a ripoff of Deep Space Nine. They were being made concurrently.
I'm sorry. Space Above and Beyond is fantastic. I joke about that. I actually love Babylon 5. Deep Space Nine was actually a ripoff of Babylon 5 because it was from the Straczynski treatment for Deep Space Nine. They took his treatment, stole it, and he went off to make Babylon 5. And while he was doing it, they made his treatment.
Anyway.
You're talking about treatments. I keep thinking of Dollhouse.
Would you like your treatment now?
Now I'm thinking about Elijah Dushku in a skirt, so...
Yes.
Suddenly my brain went blank.
Let's talk about Space Above and Beyond. Space Above and Beyond is a fantastic show. Anyone I know who's actually watched it really likes it. Getting people to watch a show that they've never heard of is impossible. There is a show I love, and I found out about it from Nick Edwards. It's called Hex. And I was told, if you like Buffy, you'll like Hex. And Hex is a show that was made over in the UK, and it's about witchcraft and angels and Nephilim and all sorts of weird stuff, and it all takes place at some preparatory school. It's so much fun. It's awesome. And it's a chick kind of drama. Tech would never be interested in, but came in to see cute girls every now and then.
Just that one video.
Yes.
Of the lesbian ghost having the makeout scene in the cherry knickers.
But trying to get other people into it and have them... Is he frozen?
Is no. It time for my treatment now?
Did you fall asleep?
No, I was trying to sell the is it time for my treatment now so hard that it was sad.
So still for the longest time.
Yeah, but he's the one stuck with the horrible code name. That's Zulu. So,
it's true though that like seeing a show like that is hard because that's the only scene I remember from when I watched it was the cherry knickers scene too.
Yeah, but Hex is a really great show.
It is a really good scene though.
It's a great scene. It's the best scene on television. But getting people to actually sit down and watch it is like pulling teeth because they've never heard of it. Trying to get people to watch Misfits. Now, first off, Serial Killer had to force us to watch Misfits. Because we were like, it doesn't sound good. Then he forced us to watch The League, too. Because we said, it doesn't sound good.
That was all the same weekend.
Yes, it was. But once Misfits hit Hulu, everyone's turning around and saying, oh, you got to see the show Misfits. I know, I've been talking about it.
This is all evidence that my brain is absolutely rotten and horrible. Because I remember you guys introducing me to half of the things you say I introduced to you. But I think Misfits was, yeah, it was a jumbled weekend where we introduced each other to a bunch of stuff. Yeah,
and then in between all of this, we watched every episode of Red Dwarf up to that point, and then watched the original Tron just to get ready to go watch the new Tron at the theater.
Yes. By the way, when you say it as the new Tron, it sounds like something completely different awesome.
The new Tron Death Laser or whatever.
Yes. There's another one, Tron. Who would have been a fan of that until there was a new movie? Like, who did you know that knew that and could honestly say they were a fan of it? Us, yes.
Anyone my age.
Us, yes, but there's try finding anybody that's not around our age group that knew about it or wanted to know about it.
My age and older, but of course.
It goes to that syndrome of that it's too old. It didn't. Groundbreaking and wonderful things were old. Star Wars, one of the most beloved nerd franchises on the planet. Star Trek, one of the most beloved nerd franchises on the planet. Both had hideously crappy graphics by today's standards.
You wouldn't
know that Star Wars did because George Lucas is in denial about it and constantly retweaks the crap out of them. But they were, by today's standards, they were hokey, but by those standards, the standards of their day, not only, Star Wars was certainly visually gorgeous, but they had a lot of themes that, you know, like Star Trek had a lot of themes you would never have seen explored on a social level, on a on television level.
The first interracial
that
kiss,
nobody would touch. Yes, a lot of, and the first kiss with a green chick as well, but not so impactful.
Well, the having females and people of color and different nationalities having actual real jobs and positions on TV.
The fact that the only the only American that you could consider on the entire cast, like the only white American in the entire cast, was actually Canadian in the first place. Like, that's, it's groundbreaking when you think about the casting of that.
Wait, what about Bones?
Oh, okay, Bones. Yeah, he's from the South. He's not really American. That's probably gonna have to get edited out. I'll be murdered.
Hate mail to serialkiller@gmail.com.
Send it there, because I don't know if I check that one anymore. So yeah. it's like there's so much groundbreaking stuff that people with their mind blockers will never see. Well, and I'm just as guilty. We're all guilty.
Sci-fi has always had a way of addressing controversial topics before mainstream was ready to deal with them. And when mainstream finally deals with it, all of us sci-fi fans go, uh-huh, yeah, we did that 20 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, and I want to share one last story of something that I love, that we all love, mm-hmm. and that a lot of the people watching will probably love, that I tried to introduce to people and got an absolutely infuriatingly horrible result. Hmm. On the last sale I was on, because I was, as much as I love horrible, horrible action movies, I was sick of seeing the repetitive loop of movies that was going on in the main lounge, I put on an episode of Firefly. I put on the very first episode of Firefly, which admittedly, as a huge fan of the series, is a bit slow.
Yeah.
There was nobody in there when I first got there except myself, about five or six people who had never seen the show, one guy who was absolutely obsessed, as obsessed as I was, and a few drunks. I call them drunks. They only had their requisite, their two allowed beer a day. They didn't have any more than that. I'm not blading anybody. But
But those two hit really hard, right? They hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah. I put this show on, and we start watching it. And because of the nature of being at sea, some of the people had to leave, some more people arrive, and things go on. And towards the latter part of it, now, like, it's a respect thing in a lot of ways in this case, too. A slight ranting vent on my part. If you're watching something I don't like on it on TV, and it's a public space, I'm going to be nice enough to go, okay, I'll leave. These people, the last half hour of the entire show was ignorant. When's this going to be over? This is crap. This is boring. When's she going to get naked? And then for 15 minutes, there was a solid every minute chant of Night at the Roxbury. Night at the Roxbury.
Is that what they wanted to watch instead?
Yes. They wanted to watch a horrible failed SNL joke made into a movie because SNL was obsessed with making crap movies out of their crap jokes.
If I may use a line from the internet, die in a fire.
See, it's like some people are so closed-minded. Not, I almost said closed-minded as in I'm wearing a shirt right now, minded. So some people are so closed-minded to what could be there in something that's outside of their wheelhouse that they miss good things. And I think that's an illustration for myself as well, because I've probably missed a lot of good series based on the fact that I went, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Oh, I know there's hundreds of hours of good TV that I'm missing. I don't know. Sometimes I think the whole point here in everything we've been saying is that you need someone to drag you into a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And that without that person dragging you in.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah, in some cases.
Crying and wailing.
But in some cases, like when it comes to police procedural dramas, if you have a good police drama on TV and you want me to watch it, don't. just don't. I'm good, thanks.
What if it's a police procedural in space that's animated and 11 minutes long?
Add in H. John Benjamin doing a voice and make it really, really funny, and maybe I'll watch it.
Oh, wait, isn't that Archer?
That is Archer, and I'll watch that.
That's not a police procedural. That's a spy movie.
It's Get Smart for this generation.
Exactly. All right, by the way, one of the most fantastic shows ever.
We need to close this up. Any final thoughts?
My final thought, tied directly to what Tech just said, is this. Sometimes it takes a person kicking and screaming, or dragging you kicking and screaming, to see something good. Do your friends a service and be that person.
Ooh, and I think with that we need to end this. Is there anything you want to plug?
Nothing currently from myself. For anyone who actually bothered to be one of the 15 people that followed my YouTube adventures faithfully, they died at sea and will soon be buried there. So the year of vlogging dangerously, died. And that's about the only major project. I have other projects on the go right now, but none of them are anywhere near public consumption.
Okay, and you can find Tech and I, of course, at nimlas.org. And please let us know, what can you just not get into? And what can't you get your friends into? And you can send feedback to 347-Nutty42. Leave a comment on the blog, in the Facebook group, Google+, NuttyBytes at nimlas.org, wherever.
Is that a phone number?
Yes.
You got a phone line?
I've had it for the last 3 years.
Oh, wow, I'm oblivious.
347-Nutty42.
Yeah. That's 347-Nutty42. I always knew that number. I just, you know, pretended. Yes.
All right.
So I got repeated twice.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-Nutty42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
Tell me who.